Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saila for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
There are very few things in the world which can accurately be described as unshakable or unmovable. Today we can dynamite them, blast them into oblivion, or if they are immaterial, we apply pressure to get someone or something to change. There is no such thing as an unmovable object meeting an irresistible force. So when something is described as unshakable or unmovable, you had better pay attention. That's why the words written long ago have significance in our world today. Okay, listen carefully. The writer of Hebrews said, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." What's he talking about? And who is the we he's referring to? He's talking about the kingdom of God, the territory in the heart of every one of God's children. The we means every child of God who has embraced Jesus Christ as Lord. The Greek word unmovable or unshakable is an interesting one. It's found twice in the New Testament. When the ship Paul was on as he journeyed to Rome shipwrecked and the bow rammed into the rocks, it was described using this very word, immovable, unshakable. Consider this. Great Britain is a kingdom. The Philippines is a republic, so is the U.S. What's the difference? There can be no kingdom without a king. Thus, when leaders are elected as opposed to inheriting a position because of one's royal lineage, it's considered a republic. Then, who's the king in this unshakable kingdom? When Jesus Christ was crucified, an inscription was placed on the cross with these words, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." He was of the royal lineage of David, and he fulfilled the prophecy that one of David's descendants would rule and reign forever. But his kingdom was no threat to Caesar. "My kingdom is not of this world," he told Pilate. The king who wants to rule and reign in the hearts of God's children couldn't be shaken either. When it was time to go to Jerusalem, he set his face like a flint. He turned neither to the right or the left. Notice then that the kingdom is not only unshakable, but the king is unshakable as well. And as a final thought, this gives strength to the subjects of the kingdom that they can be unshakable also. Are Christians at times stubborn, unmovable, unshakable? In the first century, Nero demanded to be worshipped as a god. Subjects of the Roman Empire were required to go to a pagan temple, offer a pinch of incense, and say, "Caesar est in Kurios," or "Caesar is Lord." Now, they didn't have to really believe it, only say it. No, these stubborn followers of Jesus of Nazareth cried, "Christos est in Kurios," or "Christ is Lord." They were immovable, unshakable. A strange lot, these stubborn, unshakable citizens of an unmovable kingdom who follow an unmovable king. Their chief weapon is love. They are taught to do good to all men, to pray for their enemies, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, minister to the sick and afflicted, and overcome evil with goodness. Kingdoms will rise and fall. None is unshakable save one. And thank God, it is the one whose builder and maker is God. As Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder is God, so we must remember there is an unshakable kingdom in a very shakable world, and be a citizen there. Are you a citizen of that unshakable kingdom because Jesus Christ is your king? There is joy in your heart when the king has taken his place on the throne of your life. You'll find that reference in the New Testament, the one I talked about today, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And now, I'm Dr. Harold Saila, encouraging you to remember, we have an unshakable kingdom, so rejoice and be glad.